This episode of Chris Brown's True Stewardship is brought to you by Christian Healthcare Ministries, an affordable, faith-based solution for Christians to the problems of rising healthcare costs. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, folks, I would like to welcome you to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I am your host, Chris Brown, and of course, we are super honored that you are tuning in, whether on the radio on our 20 stations across the country, or on stewardship.com, or on iTunes. Again, we are honored. The phone number is 866-357-3283, slower this time, 866-357-3283. And you can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com, chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. We are continuing our Olympic week. We'll be chatting in the studio with Olympic gold medalist Scott Hamilton. That's right. You heard me right. Scott Hamilton will be right here in the studio. You don't want to miss that. And if you missed yesterday's discussion with Olympian Johnny Quinn, be sure to check that out on the podcast or at stewardship.com. Again, we are taking your calls, and this first call comes in from Winston-Salem. This is Josh. Josh, how you doing?
Hey, good. How you doing?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Thank you, sir. I am a small business owner. We have about five employees, and I have one business partner. We're 50-50. In the last few years, we've been in business since 2006. The business is completely debt-free. I feel like we've been very successful in our industry, and we've grown our business significantly since we purchased it. But for various reasons, I feel like the Lord is leading me in different directions. My biggest issue is my partner is not a believer. And we rarely see eye to eye on how business should be ran financially, morally, and ethically. So right now we don't have a buy-sell agreement in our contract. We're an LLC. And I have a couple questions. First of all, what things do I need to consider in determining the value of the business besides just our cash and assets on hand?
First of all, let me just tell you that I'm in favor of this move. I just think you've been very fortunate. God has put his hand on this the last 10 years because typically that would be a train wreck. So I like the move. When you go to do it, just make sure it's not personal. You don't have to explain the why. You just say, like, after 10 years, I feel like it's my season to, I feel called to do something else. You don't have to get into the why. I think it could get ugly. I think if you can keep it non-personal, then you'll get a fair price that it will be, you won't have so much emotion involved and it won't get sticky. So that would be my number one. As far as the value, you want to look at a lot of things. You want to look at the book of business. You want to look at the what's coming down the pipe. All of the assets, all of the database, there are tons. There's probably like, I'm going to say 30 or 40 variables that go into the price of a business. So that is a very complex process. And there's actually folks, local experts in each area that know that area, that know the industry. And here's the biggest advice I can give you is you don't want just one source. You're going to get three or four different, very similar to selling a house. You want to get a comparative market analysis. You want to get a comparative market analysis on your business. Mm-hmm. Get three or four parties, and none of them have any relation to either one of you. Okay. And then you compare, put it all on paper, have good open communication, and say, this one's an outlier. This one's extremely high because of blank. This one's extremely low because of blank. Here's two that are in the range that makes sense. And pick in the middle, and it goes from there, and just I wouldn't fret over pennies. I would just be very, very glad that it was as smooth as it was. But that's for me. That's if you guys can do that and keep it not, just not personal and stay friends afterwards. I think that's all great. But okay. I think you're making a good move.
Thank you. I feel like the Lord's definitely led me in this direction. Thank you, sir.
All righty. Well, we appreciate the call.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Bye bye.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
Christians have an alternative to overwhelming health insurance costs. Christian Healthcare Ministries, the original healthcare sharing ministry, satisfies its members' Affordable Care Act eligibility. Christian Healthcare Ministries isn't insurance. It's 70% less expensive than the national health insurance average. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a Better Business Bureau A-plus accredited charity. To learn more, visit chministries.org. That's chministries.org. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a proud sponsor of Dave Ramsey Live Events.
All right, next up from Cypress, Texas is Lucretia. Lucretia, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you doing, Chris?
I'm better every day. How can I serve you?
Okay, so my husband and I just started the debt-free journey about 3 months ago, and we're about 3-4 weeks away from approaching the end of our consumer debt.
Good.
And what's next is we recently bought a car, and it's pretty fairly new. We've had it maybe about 6 or 7 months, and now going into the whole debt-free journey, we're realizing we probably shouldn't have bought that car. So now we're faced with the question or the decision in whether we should pay off this car and, you know, throw everything that we have at it, or should we sell it, and then we have maybe $2,500 to $3,000 in negative equity. Should we just set that up, pay that, and sell the car, or should we pay the entire car off?
All right. Well, I guess the two things that come to my mind I've got to know is how big of a deal $3,000 to $5,000 is in your world, and the other one that I need to know is how much your total car value is in comparison to your income. So, what is your household income?
It ranges maybe from 75 to 85 combined, me and my husband.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and what is the total value of all your cars?
Maybe about $40,000 combined, but we have two cars. We have one car that's already paid off, which is why we were considering selling it, because we do have a paid-off vehicle.
Okay. And this car, what's the value?
The value is probably about $30,000.
All right. And so you owe about $35,000,
$34,000? $32,000.
Okay. So you're really only looking at $2,000 loss.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if you were to go sell private party, you could get anywhere from 29 to 31. And so you're looking at a $1,000 to $3,000 loss. And this is your last debt?
I have student loan debt. We were just considering paying off the car first, because paying off the car would, you know, free up the car payment, which we would have more to throw at student loan debt afterwards.
Of course, of course. Yeah, I like you selling the car and taking the hit.
Okay.
I definitely do. And I know that's hard to, on a $30,000, I bet that's a nice car. That's hard to hear. But when you are digging out of student loan debt, you have too much money tied up in, at this stage of your stewardship journey, sitting in the driveway depreciating. I'd like that money to be, you know, put to work. And that's probably got a hefty payment with it too. So you could free up that money and put it towards your student loan. So I would let's see, then you'll have you have $10,000 in the other car, and, mm-hmm. You know, maybe you get, you know, one at $1,000 or $2,000 and another one at $7,000 or $8,000, and then just, you know, kill it for a few years and then revisit the car thing later.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. That will be the thing to do. My husband's not going to like it. We're going to get rid of it. So.
Yeah. Just to let him know that, you know, your future, your peace of mind is sitting in the driveway. So when you can't sleep at night, it's because of metal sitting in your driveway. And a lot of times putting it in that perspective will help you vision cast for him.
Yeah, it sounds a lot worse that way. So.
Yeah, you cannot put a price tag on peace of mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lucretia, we appreciate the call.
No problem. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, you know, one of the biggest traps in our lives is comparison. I've struggled with it throughout my life in ministry and with money. I know how dangerous it is. In fact, Proverbs 14:30 says, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." That's why I recommend Rachel Cruz's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs. Rachel focuses on the damaging money habit of comparison and walks you through solutions to comparison living. She unpacks 6 other healthy money habits for living the life that we really want without being buried under debt, stress, and worry. Are you tired of trying to keep up with the Joneses and ready to put that time and energy into living the life that you want? Love Your Life, Not Theirs will show you just how. If you go to stewardship.com, this new book is available for pre-order in a special offer that includes over $70 of free bonus items for, get this, just $20. Again, this offer with Rachel's new book, Love Your Life, Not Theirs, is available to pre-order right now at stewardship.com.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. Every story, from your smallest milestone to your biggest victory. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's right, you can email us at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And this is Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
All right, folks. Well, you are listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. It's not every day that we get to speak to a national speaker, a gold medalist, a TV analyst, an author, a leader of several organizations, a double Hall of Famer, a guest on The Celebrity Apprentice, a husband, a father of four, a cancer survivor. Folks, Scott Hamilton is right here in studio. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Wow. That's quite a list. I guess that's why I was a few minutes late getting here today.
Yes. It's all good. He is a busy, busy man.
Oh, man. You have no idea.
Well, we're here. We're in Olympics week. And, you know, you've got over 70 medals and awards and titles that you've won over the years. And obviously the coveted gold medal as well. What are these athletes going through this week?
The whole Olympic experience is a ton of training, being mentally strong, and then being mentally strong enough to turn off your brain and allow your body to do what you've trained it to do.
Yeah.
And then praying that nothing weird happens, you know, because you've seen it a million times. You know, it's like in skating especially, you know, you can be absolutely 100% locked on everything else, and then you'll step in a hole of a previous skater, and then it's over.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way you can recover from that. Or you hit a rut, or, you know, somebody hits a flash right when you're going into something. I mean, there's a million things that can happen that makes, you know, the bad luck come into the situation. But generally, you know, you just really hope that your training pays off and you're able to avoid injury on the big day.
Yeah, adversity can come to us from all different ways. It can be adversity can kind of be internally. It can be externally. It could be one of these things, like a little divot in the ice. And you've had a ton of adversity in your life. Almost been the theme of your story is adversity. Can you please just tell us a little bit about your story and a little bit about the adversity component?
Well, you know, it kind of, you know, looking back on it, every single part of it was really important to being able to live joyfully now.
Yeah.
You know, I was adopted at a very young age, 6 weeks of age. And, you know, after a few years, I just stopped growing. And I was in and out of hospitals, mostly in for 4 years. And they never really found the source of my problem. It was getting home and just deciding to, you know, take me off all the restrictive diets that they felt were making me sick, doing all these things. And then I started skating. And then all my symptoms sort of went away. And I started growing again. I started developing. And then, you know, throughout, you know, talk about, you know, being, you know, overcoming obstacles, try being a male figure skater in the 80s, you know, it was kind of a tough one to get over. But in 97, I was diagnosed with testicular cancer. My joke is that I made it cool before Lance Armstrong. And
there
then that changed my life completely, you know, came back from that, you know, 2004, after I'm married with a young son, brain tumor. You know, and here's the punchline of that. The brain tumor is one that I was born with and more than likely caused all my health issues.
Gotcha.
When I was young, but there was no way to diagnose it. You know, back then it was a brain tumor. They didn't have the imagery that they have now and all the other tools. And then I had a recurrence in 2010, and that one surgery became 9, you know, surgeries. So it's been bumpy. But you know, anytime I got knocked down, you know, skating gave me the skills to get back up and, you know, just deal with whatever the damage is and keep going. You know, that's the key is you get knocked down, you get up and you just get back to work.
When I think about your life, I think of, Romans 8:28, in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Your walk, you know, right now is really according to his purpose. I mean, you are going hard after.
It's my birthday, 8/28.
You know, really?
Yeah, I mean, that's very fitting.
Yeah.
You know, my walk with the Lord has been, you know, it's been a roller coaster, you know, and a lot of it was I had the inklings, I had the intuitions that this was the right path, did not know how to do it, didn't have any structure around me that guided me. And so, you know, I just sort of kept it to myself, and I was somewhat rebellious, and I just thought, you know, denominational religion was madmaine divisive, and, you know, I went through all that rebellion stuff, and then I met a minister through my girlfriend who would become my wife. You know, she said, what is your relationship with Jesus? And I said, where do you want it to be? You know, I knew she was the one. And so, you know, she guided me to Ken Durham, who now is a professor at Lipscomb University, and he's become family to us. And he just said, what are your issues? And I told him, and he goes, I couldn't agree with you more. And I was like, oh, finally, This is the stuff. And he guided me. He married us. He baptized me. You know, and so I understand that, you know, every single thing in my life is to draw me closer to him and to allow me to understand that, you know, everything I've been through was for his purpose. You know, you think about that, you know, if I hadn't had the undiagnosed brain tumor when I was 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I probably never would have started skating. And, you know, had I not had cancer, I wouldn't have met my wife.
Yeah.
Had I not had the brain tumor, I would never have known what happened to me when I was younger, and I never would have been able to draw closer to him, and truly draw closer. You know, that adventure was one where it went to, you know, the brain tumor, when it was first diagnosed, it came out of the blue. I was like, what? I knew that things had changed. I thought it was because I'd retired from actively performing and skating. And then when they told me there's something in there, you know, I always try to deflect with humor. I just said, will you be the first person that said that? You know, There's something in there. And so it just, when I told Tracy that afternoon, she didn't hesitate. She, not even one beat passed, and she just grabbed both of my hands and she started to pray. And it was such a sort of strength and faith and dedication that I knew from then on, no matter what happened in our lives, we're going to take it straight to him.
Well, obviously, that's an incredible perspective. You know, if this wouldn't have happened, this wouldn't have happened.
Right.
If this didn't happen. That person that's out there now listening in, I know you're going through a tough time right now, but...
Yeah, whatever it is. You know, for me, it was in the throes of chemotherapy and knowing that I'm going to feel better.
Yeah.
Knowing that this is a bump in the road. Not knowing that round three was going to make me want to quit. You know, the chemo back then is, you know, 5 days of 9-hour infusions and then 16 days off, then 5 days of 9-hour infusions, then 16 days off. And round three, my life had changed so drastically, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, that I knew that I was being broken. You know, and for anybody out there, you are being set free of whatever you were, and you are stepping into the light of whatever you're going to become. And to me, cancer isn't a horrible experience. To me, cancer is liberating. Cancer is something that it's tough to go through. You know, through my CARES Foundation, we're trying to make it better, you know, for the next person diagnosed. But still, something inside you awakens that you never knew was there before.
Yeah.
And you have to listen to that voice. You're strong enough. You're tough enough. You've got a mission. Here's a beginning, a middle, and an end. And then when you go back to life, it's with a new dedication, a new appreciation, and, you know, in many, many, many cases, a new direction.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about that for a second. You'd mentioned that your organization, this whole idea of stewarding your experience, stewarding your talent, stewarding your even the circumstances that you've been in, your platform, put all that together, the intersection of this right now, life after the Olympics, from a third party kind of looking in on your life, you're doing such a good job at stewarding those things.
Wow, thank you.
And just tell us a little bit.
I don't always feel like that.
Tell us a little bit about what you're doing now and how we could be praying for you.
Well, you know, it's when I was skating, you know, I knew I needed to win in order to have a job, because back then it was truly amateur. And sure enough, when I went to the Ice Capades, that was my first job ever, really, except for delivering pizzas. The president of Ice Capades told me it's a good thing I won the Olympic gold medal because I was too short to be in the chorus line. So it was kind of an all or nothing thing. And then, you know, you go through all of, you know, the naysayers and all these, you can't do that. No, you, that's not possible. No, this is improbable. And then, you know, I'm diagnosed with cancer and I lost my mother 20 years to the day almost that I was diagnosed. And so it's kind of like, okay, what do I do with this? And I realized that when I lost my mother to cancer, I became a fundraiser. When I survived 20 years later, I understood the cancer experience and I became an activist, more or less. You know, I'm not, you know, screaming, throwing, blowing up things, but
right.
I became an activist of saying, okay, this there's parts of the cancer experience that are completely avoided, completely neglected, completely ignored. And that's, you know, education, you know, was the first part of it. And what I did was with the Cleveland Clinic, where I lived as an initiative for 16 years, I said, we've got to educate patients better. And so we went out and we fundraised and we got enough money to build a website called chemocare.com, which is a website like no other. It's become the go-to website for patient information. When someone's diagnosed with cancer and chemotherapy is the route, they can go to chemocare.com. And they can look up everything. They can look up, you know, all they need to know is the drugs they're going to be taking. They can look up those drugs. And everything's explained to them in eighth grade English and Spanish and through Google Translate, every language in the world. But you know what the drugs are designed to do and how they work. And then there's a section of, okay, here are the side effects of that drug. And then there's a whole other section of the website that says, here's how to deal with those side effects. So it empowers patients to better understand their circumstance and to better fight back the side effects of chemotherapy. You know, when I first started that, you know, I was like, well, what is it? You know, what am I thinking? And we ran across an Oncology Nursing Society survey of newly diagnosed patients, and it said that 30% of all newly diagnosed patients of cancer feared death as their number one fear. 42% feared treatment.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. You know, as an organization now, I'm looking at that. I'm thinking, okay, people need to be better equipped with the information that they can better arm themselves with, you know, how to avoid a lot of the pitfalls of that treatment. And on the other side of it, it's putting, you know, I felt isolated, you know. So we created a mentorship program where we pair. It's called the Fourth Angel Mentoring Program. The idea behind it is the first angel is your oncologist. Your second angel in your cancer experience is your oncology nurse. Your third angel is friends and family. They're the missing angel is a fourth angel. And the fourth angel is someone that's been there, done that. They're on the other side of it now, and they can mentor you through your cancer experience. So the chemocare.com and the Fourth Angel Mentoring Program are just busting at the seams. You know, they've been really super successful. You know, then we realize that the research part of it needs to be advanced. And no one's going to touch the government as far as funding.
Right.
But organizations like mine can direct, elevate forms of treatment and collaborate with different cancer centers to elevate their abilities to further immunotherapy. Yeah. You know, our whole thing with CARES now, and if people want to check it out, scottcares.org is the website. So when you go to scottcares.org, you can see what we've done, what our philosophies are. And then the whole idea of treatment is to elevate treatment options that treat the cancer and spare the patient. Because right now, none of those really exist. Yeah. You know, you've got chemotherapy everywhere. And, you know, it's just basically filling your body with... I'm here 19 years later because of chemotherapy, okay?
Right.
Full disclosure. Chemotherapy goes through and kills the cancer, but it also hurts a lot of healthy tissue. Traditional radiation is the same way. Traditional radiation, it goes through, it hits the tumor, and it radiates it, and it hurts it, and it kills it, and cancer cells are easier to kill than healthy cells. But then the beam, the nature of the beam is it continues on into the body, and now your collateral damage is collateral damage. And you, with proton therapy, proton is very, very clean. You know, again, being a particle, the proton itself from a hydrogen atom, they're able to control that, deposit it into the tumor. There's no dose continuing on into the body.
Okay.
Very little radiation going on into the body. So the collateral damage is almost nil. Now, you know, a blooming city like Nashville will have every option for treatment, you know, as far as people faced with cancer.
Well, folks, as you can tell, the determination that goes into training to be an Olympic athlete, it doesn't stop when you finish competing.
I'm just playing the hand I've been dealt.
This determination, this is what's been dealt to him, and he is stewarding it to the best of his ability. That determination going into the Olympics has continued after. So, folks, I don't know where you're at today, what kind of adversity that you're facing, what kind of passions you have, any kind of passions for something that's really good, or maybe even an injustice that's out there. Go after it with everything you have. Steward that passion, steward that platform, that circumstance, that experience, that background, that history, like Scott Hamilton has done. Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
God bless you. Thank you.
Folks, I hope that today's been an encouragement to you. When you're watching the Olympics, don't just watch the speed. Don't just watch the trick. But listen, the competing, the competition, the award, the real achievement is in the training. God bless you.